Al Simpson. Should test scores by job applicants be altered to favor minority groups? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, it is just plain hard to believe, but some of your activist friends in the civil rights movement think a person's score on a test for a job should reflect the applicant's race. Under your plan, those tested for a new job would not receive a score based solely on ability or knowledge or how well they would do on the job. Instead, minority groups would simply be given a higher score for no other reason than the color of their skin. Your pals call this plan race norming. Most bright folks call it discrimination, the very thing the civil rights movement was formed to fight against. Ted, manipulating test scores simply because of race only legalizes discrimination. Last month, I introduced legislation that would prevent race norming. Take a moment, Ted, and join me in speaking out against this insidious form of racial discrimination.
Al, it's wrong to manipulate test scores by race, but it's also wrong to rely on employment tests with significant racial or any other kind of bias. That's the heart of the race-norming controversy. Some standardized employment tests, widely used by business, measure qualities having nothing to do with job performance. Employers making hiring decisions are understandably reluctant to rely on raw scores on these tests, since the scores don't accurately measure the true ability of women and minority applicants to perform the job they're seeking. The bias in the test is not intentional, Al, but it's difficult to overcome. We need to devise more accurate tests to eliminate the bias. But until we do, employers anxious to hire the best workers for the job will choose the applicant who can do the job the best. And as business is the first to realize, Al, that's not always the worker who scores highest on unfair employment tests. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Internal Revenue Service. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration tried to take unfair aim at low and middle income taxpayers, but this is one time they missed. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's the time of the year when millions of hardworking Americans have paid their taxes to Uncle Sam. According to recent press reports, the Bush administration planned an unpleasant extra surprise this year until the commissioner of the IRS shot it down. As part of its budget scheme, the administration wanted the IRS to ease off on wealthy taxpayers and start auditing more low and middle income families. The idea was to pick up large amounts of quick cash, new revenue, by harassing average taxpayers, who are much more likely to give in quickly instead of dragging the IRS into court. Fortunately, Fred Goldberg, the commissioner of the IRS, said no to that unfair scheme. He called it a no-good tax policy. A medal for Fred Goldberg, Al, and a black eye for the Bush administration.
You give truth the black eye, Ted. What you're babbling about is a suggestion by the Office of Management and Budget way back last fall to get the IRS to concentrate on mail audits. Nobody was letting the rich off the hook, but some folks believe everybody should share an equal chance of being audited. Don't make a mountain out of that molehill, especially since you really would like to hide the fact that you love to spend the taxpayers' money faster than the IRS can haul it in. Ted, for all your eternal Bush bashing, why don't you just tell the poor folks how the Democrats in Congress have constantly chopped up the IRS budget to keep it from being able to go after the billions that slip through the cracks in unpaid taxes? Ted, you don't have to give a medal to IRS Commissioner Fred Goldberg. Just give him the 10% increase in his enforcement budget that he's asking the Democrat Congress for. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I face off next on whether South Africa's progress should be recognized by the lifting of sanctions. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. South Africa is making great strides to dump apartheid. Is it time now to lift economic sanctions? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, South Africa's policy of apartheid is a disgusting and wretched experiment in human behavior. Congress imposed sanctions in '86 to put the pressure on to form a free democratic society. Since then, it's made real progress toward reform thanks to President de Klerk. Nelson Mandela was freed. Negotiations for a new constitution are underway. And later this month, South Africa will release all political prisoners. This should then satisfy all of the conditions allowing sanctions to be lifted. Ted, I just returned from there where I met with de Klerk, Mandela, Buthelezi, and many other black and white leaders. Time has come to recognize South Africa for the progress made. Don't turn up the voice level now and say it's not enough. All of us know there's much more work to do, but reneging on our promise made is sure not the way to bring about the results we all seek.
Snookered again, Al? You got hoodwinked by the defenders of apartheid on your recent fancy junket to South Africa. This is no time to back off U.S. sanctions. You right-wingers never wanted sanctions in the first place. You voted against them in 1986. Now you're trying to dump them prematurely. True, significant change is taking place in South Africa. If it continues, the sanctions will be lifted. But not yet, Al, and it's wrong for you to try to move the goalposts. The sanctions law spells out strict conditions to be met before sanctions should be ended. You mentioned one of them, Al, release of all political prisoners. But you conveniently forgot a few of the other conditions, such as repeal of the specific laws at the heart of apartheid. Next time you spend the taxpayers' money on one of those fancy foreign junkets, Al, do the taxpayers a favor. Try to get the issue straight. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Handgun Control and the Brady Bill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Ronald Reagan is for the Brady Bill on handgun control. Can Senator Al Simpson be far behind? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, I know you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but even you ought to be able to figure out by now that the right-wing opposition to handgun control is dwindling. The focus is on the Brady Bill, and showdown votes are coming up in Congress soon. The measure requires a 7-day waiting period before handguns can be bought. That way, law enforcement agencies can run background checks on purchases and make sure the handguns aren't being sold to convicted criminals, drug addicts, or the mentally ill. Now even Ronald Reagan has endorsed the Brady Bill. The overwhelming majority of police officers and law enforcement agencies are strongly supporting it. They're on the front lines in the war against crime. They know the life and death importance of reducing enemy artillery. Aren't you feeling a little lonely, Al? Just you and the NRA?
Sharpest knife in the drawer. Hand me the hone. I sure hope Ronald Reagan is listening to Face Off today, Ted, just so he can hear you chirp his praises. He's waited an awful long time for that from you. We should have a moment of silence to mark this historic occasion. And we all deeply respect Ronald Reagan's compassionate loyalty to a dear and close friend who took a bullet in the brain, a bullet meant for him. But we can't let emotion alone carry the issue. While the Brady Bill allows for background checks on those who purchase guns, it does not require them. Ted, get yourself behind the NRA proposal to check absolutely through the use of a national hotline on the background of every person who buys a gun. Don't josh yourself, Ted. You and others ignore another real threat to public safety, the black market, which always trades in guns illegally. I don't hear you trying to help us solve that problem. Stop always looking for the easy way out every time. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether television should broadcast live at prison executions. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should television stations be allowed to broadcast executions? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, a television station in San Francisco went to court to get approval to broadcast live from the gas chamber. They complained, since the print journalists got to take their pad and pencil there to cover the story, that a TV camera should have the same right to film an execution. Boy, the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that the press has no special right of access to places where the general public is not allowed, such as a prison execution. The fact that any member of the press is there at all is only because the prison officials allow them to be a witness. Ted, I believe in capital punishment, but I also believe in common sense and good taste. Showing a criminal dying for their crime on the tube really exceeds all bounds. Why can't television see that? Ratings over everything. Kind of sad, isn't it?
Good thinking, Al, but there's no chance the Rehnquist Supreme Court will approve televised executions anytime soon. The Rehnquist Court won't even allow TV cameras in Supreme Court arguments. It's hard to believe, but as recently as 1937, the United States still tolerated the barbaric spectacle of public executions. Some misguided people saw it as a deterrent to crime, but it was no such thing. In earlier times, when penalties were even harsher, it is said pickpockets used to work the crowds at public executions of criminals convicted of pickpocketing. The better answer, Al, is not to give TV cameras anything to cover. Let's ban the death penalty. The arguments simply don't hold water. It's not a deterrent to crime. It brutalizes government. It's fraught with racial discrimination. And if innocent people are executed, you can't bring them back to life. Life imprisonment, Al? Yes. Capital punishment? No. Besides, Al, there's too much violence on TV already. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A good way to encourage young Americans to vote is through voter registration in the schools. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in congressional elections last fall, voter turnout was only 36%, the worst since 1942. Even in presidential elections, it barely reaches 50%, compared to 80 or even 90% in other democratic nations. Part of the problem is the archaic voter registration laws that impose unnecessary barriers on the right to vote. One good way to cut through the red tape is to make registration more accessible, especially to young Americans. In recent years, Florida has pioneered a remarkably successful program to register high school students in their social studies classes. It turns out to be a welcome shot in the arm for our democracy. In many schools, the registration rate is 100%, and you'll like this part, Al, it virtually costs nothing. High school voter registration, it makes sense, Al, and it turns young citizens into lifelong voters.
I'm all for getting more Americans to the polls, Ted. Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind seeing a lot more Republicans get out to vote to throw you out in Massachusetts. Americans of all ages need to better understand the responsibility and importance of voting. That simple act is the very essence of our nation. Well, let's not just stop at high school registration, Ted. We need to inspire folks already registered to get to those polls. That includes people who don't have transportation, those who think their vote doesn't count. What we need, Ted, are candidates who people want to vote for and campaign laws that don't always stack the deck in favor of the incumbents. Showing high school students how easy it is to vote is one great idea, Ted, but stop dragging your feet about campaign reform. Help us get fresh faces to run for office, and you'll see a better turnout. My state of Wyoming can turn out more than 80% of its voters in a snowstorm. You just snow them up there in Massachusetts. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush is surely making his grades as the education president. Will the Democrats help him succeed, or do they hope he flunks out? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, this month, President Bush released his thoughtful plan for a new generation of American schools. The proposal calls for comprehensive national testing, research into new forms of public schools, some fresh alternatives which merge education with social services. There's even a back to basics in schools section that focuses right on adult illiteracy and improving job skills. Ted, the president's program calls for better and more accountable schools at every single level. Even my friend Colorado Governor Roy Romer, the Democrat spokesman for the Governors Association, gave the president's plan a high five thumbs up. The real question is, are you going to help President Bush or pout over there in the corner wearing your dunce cap?
Al, you're really out of it today. You've even got your hand signals mixed up. Either you give a high five or you give a thumbs up, but you can't give both at the same time. On education, you Rip Van Winkle Republicans are finally waking up to the crisis. We'd be farther along towards our education goals today if this cooperation from the administration had begun in 1981 instead of 1991. Unfortunately, some of the administration's proposals will do more harm than good. I support school choice, but it's wrong to use choice in a way that tampers with a basic distinction between public and private schools, or that violates separation between church and state. Restoring excellence won't be easy or cheap. That's not the way we won the war in the Persian Gulf, and it's not the way we'll win the battle for better education. Let the debate begin, Al, and may the best ideas prevail. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the appalling human tragedy of the Kurdish people in Iraq. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy, the nightmare of the Kurds has shamed America. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, somewhere there must be an ounce of human kindness in the Bush administration, but we'd need a microscope to find it. In recent weeks, the world has witnessed a human tragedy of massive proportions. Over 1 million Kurdish refugees have fled the violence in Iraq. Never have so many suffered while the administration looked the other way and pretended it was not our fault, too. The administration was so busy congratulating itself on their war that they ignored the catastrophe the war produced. The Kurds paid a heavy price for heeding President Bush and believing America would help them overthrow Saddam. The administration finally came to its senses when it realized the American people couldn't bear to see another Kurdish mother burying her dead baby in a mountain grave. Relief is underway, Al, but what on earth took the White House so long?
Ted, put an ice machine in your imported suit. Your jaded and nasty comments bashing Bush generate far more heat than light. And you sure never came to the rescue of the Kurds. The administration jumped into action with airdrops 2 weeks before you could even think of anything to do, and then that sole bright idea was to hold a Senate hearing. Pretty original. Ted, during the war debate, you stood right on the floor of the U.S. Senate, blasting Bush for the thousands of American lives you claimed would be wasted. You ranted on about 45,000 body bags filled with our troops and shrieked against another Vietnam. Ted, you should praise Bush for not allowing the Gulf War to become another Vietnam or another Korea, where we would occupy Iraq for decades to come. If we'd followed your stall tactics, there wouldn't even have been any Kurds left to save. Boy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to close obsolete military bases which wring taxpayers dry. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Pentagon wants to close some military bases to save taxpayers money, but Democrats in Congress are really balking. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, of the 86 military bases the Defense Department ordered shut down back in 88, only one was ever closed. You sure love to kick the Pentagon all over the lot over wasteful spending, but in this case, the only reason these worn-out bases don't get the axe is because Democrat congressmen don't want any bases closed in their districts. Real statesmanship and real pork barrel. Ted, this month, my Wyoming pal Dick Cheney asked Congress to close down 31 bases. The savings would total billions of dollars. Come on now, Ted. America must make some intelligent decisions about its national defense based on honesty and real need, not someone's burning desire to always get reelected. I'll trust Cheney.
Al, you're telling only half the story about the 1988 list. True, only one of the 86 bases on the list has been closed so far, but the others are on schedule to be shut down by 1995, exactly as planned. You can't build Rome in a day, Al, and you can't close bases overnight. No congressman, Democrat or Republican, wants bases closed in their district. That's why we need to take politics and pork out of the process. Trust the Pentagon? No way, Al. Last year, they proposed 21 base closing. Surprise? 19 were in Democratic districts. Congress laughed that hit list out of business, Al. We sent Dick Cheney back to the drawing board. Now, to guarantee impartiality, we've created an independent commission to review the Pentagon's new list. After that, Congress will vote on the entire package, up or down, no changes. That's a good way to make tough decisions, Al. Open, fair, and nonpartisan. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Social Security for children. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Children need Social Security, too. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, if you had to put your finger on the one thing that's made the biggest difference for America's senior citizens, it would be Social Security. For generations of elderly Americans, it's been the difference between poverty and a secure retirement. What America needs in the 1990s is Social Security for children. That means six things. First, a right to health care for every expectant mother and every newborn child. Second, universal childhood immunization. Third, basic nutrition. Fourth, accessible and affordable infant and toddler child care for working parents. Fifth, Head Start for every eligible child. Sixth, tracking down absent fathers and making them pay the child support they owe. Investing in children actually saves tax dollars in lower costs for illness, unemployment, welfare, and crime. Admit it, Al, you like the idea.
Yeah, well, some may like it. They won't like paying for it. Sounds like cradle-to-the-grave welfare stuff to me, Ted. Sure, it's vital to help kids get a fair shake and a good start, but all you ever want to do is teach them that Uncle Sam's welfare state is always right there, no matter what. You'd best take a closer look at what the federal government already does for kids. The same programs you talk of exist right now and are getting a big boost thanks to George Bush. This year's budget gives the infant nutrition program, WIC, a hearty increase. Head Start will be open to all four-year-olds, and soon all kids under 18 will be covered by Medicaid. Bush has even approved child care block grants for states to help parents, especially the poor, pay for their daycare. Ted, let's give these fine programs, which already work, an even better chance to succeed before you start donging on the poor taxpayers for billions more. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As America heads toward a new century, Medicare, the federal insurance program for the elderly, is headed for bankruptcy. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Congress created Medicare to help the elderly pay some of their major medical bills. Both workers and employers contribute to Medicare's trust fund to keep the program solvent. But now the cost of running Medicare is skyrocketing, out of sight. Instead of a surplus, the trust fund is being spent out at a truly frightening rate. Right now, Congress has the chance to solve this one, but Democrats are afraid to touch it with a stick. Last year, when Congress tried to provide Medicare with a 10% boost, instead of a politically safe 11% increase, the senior citizens groups drove you goofy. Only in the Congress can a 10% increase ever be called a cut. Come on, Ted, help us reform Medicare so it can avoid going bust and can keep on doing its job on into the next century.
Al, you don't understand the problem, so it's easy to see why you're not part of the solution. Medicare spending goes up every year for two reasons: the soaring inflation and health care costs, and the fact that more senior citizens are living longer. I know it's a subtle concept to grasp, Al, but try to wrap your mind around it. If the annual increase in spending for Medicare approved by Congress is less than what's needed to keep up with rising health care costs and the larger numbers of elderly Americans, the increase actually becomes a cut in terms of its practical impact on senior citizens, because this year's spending buys less health care than last year's. The answer to Medicare's financial crisis is not benefit cuts or higher taxes either. What's needed is broad-based reform of the nation's overall health care system. It's the only realistic way to save Medicare, Al, and keep it out of bankruptcy. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Kurdish refugees in Iran. They deserve U.S. help, too. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration finally did the right thing for the Kurdish refugees who fled into Turkey. But what about those who need help in Iran? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, under pressure from an outraged America, the Bush administration finally launched a massive relief effort for the Kurdish refugees who fled from Saddam into Turkey. So far, so good. But what about the other half of the tragedy? The million Kurdish refugees in Iran. They also needed our help. Why didn't we do all we could to save their lives, too? Obviously, we have difficulties with the government of Iran, but with the magnitude of the crisis there and America's complicity in causing it, we should have done more. Besides, Al, a U.S. helping hand for Iran could be a golden opportunity to heal the wounds between our two nations. Let's hope the current negotiations succeed between the Kurds and Saddam. But meanwhile, let's do more to help those refugees in Iran.
American complicity in what happened? Ted, before you go barging on into Iran, do you think they might want you to knock first? Offering humanitarian assistance is one thing, but storming into a sovereign nation, especially one we aren't too friendly with, that's something else. Ted, I know your humanity knows no bounds, but I'd sure like to ask you, just where was this outraged conscience of yours way back in 1979 when millions were slaughtered in Cambodia? Where were you in 85 when the Soviets strangled the Afghans and hundreds of thousands of refugees then poured into Pakistan? And where were you when Saddam was gassing the Kurds only 3 years ago? Confession time, Ted. I do know you really care about the Kurds and even the millions of political refugees all over the world, but don't you really just care primarily about your great favorite indoor sport, bush bashing? You're a fright. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a new push by third world nations to obtain Scud missiles. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Has the end of the Cold War actually increased missile proliferation in some developing nations? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, now that the world knows what a Scud missile is, maybe it's time we wake up and see that 16 countries, including Libya, North Korea, and Brazil, all have different forms of Scud missiles which can blast away on targets thousands of miles away. The real kicker to this serious problem is that it would seem that the end of the Cold War has actually triggered a new arms race in third world countries. When the superpowers became more friendly, the nations we both once kept in check are now free to pursue their own selfish military policies, and pursue them they have. Ted, as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, why not do something to prevent the entire third world from buying missiles? This is just one more reason to develop anti-missile technology like the Patriot system and SDI. What's your sad excuse going to be this time?
Unfortunately, Al, the Persian Gulf War has become a catalyst for more arms sales to the Middle East and other parts of the world. As long as the Arab-Israeli conflict continues, so will the demand for arms in the region. Both sides are desperately trying to keep the balance of power from tilting against them. The major powers are the worst offenders. The vast majority of arms sold to developing nations come from the five permanent members of the UN Security Council: the United States, the Soviet Union, Britain, France, and China. Under our leadership, those countries work together to roll back Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. Why can't they get together again and put strict limits on sales of missiles and other arms that endanger the peace? President Bush is said to be scrambling to come up with a plan to stop these senseless arms sales, Al. Let's hope he gives it the top priority it deserves. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the railroad strike that lasted only a day. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A serious national railroad strike was averted last month, and so was a Bush administration bad idea. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a few hours after that national railroad strike erupted last month, Congress stepped in, worked out a fair settlement, and staved off a serious national emergency. But it was a close call. For weeks as the strike deadline approached, Republican hardliners in the administration and Congress were talking tough about teaching labor a lesson. They were scheming to end the strike by ramming legislation through Congress to impose the pro-business recommendations of an emergency fact-finding board. But cooler administration heads prevailed, and Secretary of Transportation Sam Skinner deserves much of the credit. The hardliners' anti-worker scheme collapsed when it became clear that the board's recommendations left too many major issues unresolved. So Congress created a new board to settle the issues. For once, Al, the right wing, not the country, got derailed.
Ted, hours before the rail strike began, union negotiators were the ones sitting around on their duffs waiting for the stroke of midnight instead of sitting up to the table talking seriously. Talk about wanting to teach someone a lesson. That's what this strike was all about. Unions holding management, and in this case the whole country, hostage. Ted, each day of the strike would have cost our economy $1 billion. At a time when we have America on the mend and a recession on the run, a long national rail strike would have dealt us a fatal blow. No union has a right to do that. Ted, instead of all your political jargon and partisan babble, you should praise George Bush and all of the Republicans in Congress for joining forces with Democrats to nip this unreasonable strike in the bud. And honest, Ted, the only Democrat I would ever tie to the tracks would be you. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on American industry's new export boom. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America's manufacturing industry is making some giant strides to export its goods overseas. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you are always the true prince of darkness when it comes to ever seeing any ray of hope for the economy. After all, a bad, deep, serious recession is the best political ploy the old Democrats could have in next year's election. All the same, American manufacturing has tooled up and found good export markets for their products overseas. Since 1986, American exports of manufactured goods have increased 76%. Helped out by a weaker dollar abroad and new technology that lowers the cost of production, American companies are regaining the competitive edge in Japan and Europe. Sorry to bust your bubble, Ted, but America's just not going to sit on its bum and hope the recession goes away. As we say in Wyoming, Ted, you can pray for rain or you can irrigate. The choice is yours. I'll get out your dusty old umbrella.
Al, your cheerleading for the economy is wearing thin. Nobody wants the recession to get worse, but with this administration's mismanagement, it probably will. As Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan said the other day, the economy is still declining, but the descent is not as steep. That's hardly good news. If you're sick and your temperature goes from 101 to 103 and then to 104, you're not getting better because you're getting sicker at a slower rate. You'd better rub your rabbit's foot a little harder, Al, if you think exports will lead a recovery. They represent only 16% of GNP. That's a small engine to pull this big economy out of the recession. Part of the problem is, Al, we have a do-nothing president on too many domestic issues. You can't use foreign policy to jumpstart the economy. We need an anti-recession policy, Al. Why can't you Republicans see that? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress is trying again to pass the family and medical leave bill that President Bush vetoed in 1990. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress and the White House are heading for another collision over time off for workers facing family emergencies. Legislation in Congress would require 12 weeks of leave when a baby is born or there's a serious illness in the family. President Bush vetoed a similar measure last year, but the idea is too important to ignore. The president's right-wing pro-business advisors have an ideological hang-up, Al. They don't like Congress telling business what to do. But when business goes wrong, Congress speaks up. That's why we have laws on minimum wages, child labor, and worker safety. Tell President Bush to put his veto pen away, Al. In this day and age, no working mother should lose her job because she can't get maternity leave or needs time off to care for a new baby or a sick child.
Ted, why not tell our gentle listeners about the recent study by the SBA which surveyed 1,700 companies and documented the fact that the cost of firing an employee who would like family leave is much greater than the cost of just granting him or her the time off. What more incentive do you want? Ted, you don't need the heavy hand of Congress dictating what companies can and can't do. Something else you always forget to mention is that your family leave bill would apply only to companies with more than 50 workers. What about all of the other Americans? Don't they have rights too? Ted, whatever Congress does, let's make certain that it's fair for all. But most importantly, let's not just rush in and put one more law on the books when American employers have every good reason to grant any family leave all on their own, the real American way. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on preventing violent crimes against women. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Democrats in Congress think they can even solve violent crimes against women by simply throwing money at the problem. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, as fellow members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we will soon vote on legislation to combat violent crimes against women. Your plan spends $1.5 billion on social programs to assist women after they've been attacked, but does nothing to stop the crimes from taking place. Ted, once again, you liberals think you can buy your way out of a tough vote. What's your thinking? If you spend enough money, the people will really think you're doing something? Bite the bullet, Ted. Support the Republican bill to order the death penalty for sexual assault murders. Our bill also limits the never-ending appeal process and gives some serious slammer time to anybody who thinks they can get away with it. Makes them think twice.
Come off it, Al. The death penalty doesn't solve anything. It's a feel-good alternative for all you right-wingers looking for simplistic solutions to the festering problem of crime in the streets. The real problem is you right-wingers aren't willing to put resources where your law and order mouth is. You slash funds for police, prosecutors, courts, and prisons. Then to cover up your neglect, you beat the drums for capital punishment. As H.L. Mencken once said, for every complex problem, there's a solution that's neat, simple, and wrong. That description fits capital punishment, whether for sex assault murders or any other crime. There's no evidence it deters any criminals. It's tainted with race discrimination, and there's always the danger that innocent persons will be put to death. Your Republican scheme to limit appeals in criminal cases is just as irrational, Al. I say let justice be done, even if it means a few more appeals. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on right-wingers who love to bash the UN. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.